This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Kublik, let's bring him in now. Cole, how you doing?
Great, Jim. How are you?
Fantastic. For those that may have missed Saturday night on the SEC Network, you guys do a wonderful job, and you show us a lot of the stuff you guys do leading into the game. And you had an injury leading into that game. Explain to people what happened.
Well, you know, we have a fun crew. We have a crew that that maybe take things a little bit too far at times. And Tom Hart and Jordan Rogers, we had our crew party Friday night. And it's where all of our camera guys and graphics and stats and producer, director, and everybody behind the scenes sort of gets together. And we all go to dinner together and hang out. Went to a cool little place in Nashville and got some karaoke going. And Tom and Jordan are on stage. And for some reason, Tom's selection was Dixieland Delight, which why he thought I was going to get up there and sing that song with him. I have no idea, but I had zero interest in it. And so I guess out of frustration that I wouldn't get up and sing with him, there's this giant set of Jenga blocks, like the big ones made out of 2x4s right next to him on a stool. And he decides that it's going to be funny to just sort of toss the entire stack of Jenga blocks my direction, to which one sort of, I guess, just knocks me right on the nose. So it kind of hurt, stung a little bit, and I was thinking, nah, it's no big deal. And then Jordan walks over, and he's like, yeah, you're bleeding.
Yeah.
And so I kind of pulled my phone out and flipped the camera around, and I was like, that doesn't look good. And so Jacqueline Jameson, who's our stage manager and essentially like our house mom of our crew, she takes care of all of us. She's like, I'll go get you some ice. And she comes back with this giant ice bag. And she's like, you might need to go back to your room and ice this. And I'm just thinking, it can't be that bad. And Jordan says, I think your nose is broken. And I was just like, this is ridiculous, guys. Like, it's a Jenga set. Like, I can't be hurt by a Jenga set. And so we went back to the room. I put some ice on it. And hopefully Tom felt bad. He acted like he felt bad, but he acts well. So I don't really know what he's thinking. But, yeah, I had to have an extra makeup application session on Saturday night before the game. I think I covered it up fairly well. I only had two or three people tweet at me and ask me what was wrong with my face, which my children asked me as soon as I got home on Sunday. My daughter's first question to me was, Daddy, what's wrong with your face? I said, most people ask me that every day, but since you're asking me today, my nose is messed up.
I tell you, Tom is lucky he got the domesticated passive version of Cole Kublik 10 years ago. I mean, you'd be listed as still a minus 450 favorite in the octagon against Tom right now, but Todd, boy, I would have liked to have seen that 10 years ago.
Todd would be hanging up near the moose head.
Lance is only the second person that's brought that up, but one of my other really good friends saw the Instagram story, which it was like I had it on film where he actually throws them into my phone. And one of my buddies from high school, actually, he actually DM'd me, and he was like, does he have any idea that 10 or 15 years ago would be going down right now? I was like, no, probably not, but it's funny to think.
Yeah, they would be looking for a the crew would have been mixed up a little bit. I don't think you guys would have been back SEC Saturday nights next year.
Well, Musburger's back with Jordan Rogers tonight.
Cole joins us each week, courtesy of JD's over in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, and right now, JD Spirits, they're featuring Pendleton Whiskey. Pendleton is barrel-aged. It's a Canadian whiskey. It's cut with water from Oregon's Hood River. This whiskey has an uncommonly smooth taste, rich, complex flavor. Stop by JD's today. Try the Pendleton Straight or the Pendleton 1910 Rye Whiskey today.
Cole, if you had to guess the minimum rush yards it would take for Auburn to have a shot at Alabama, what would that minimum be?
I think minimum to be in the game is going to be 200.
Oh, my.
I think Alabama could be up big and back off, and then you could see them bust off, you know, maybe get to 120, 140, something like that late in the game. But it would need to be consistent throughout the entire game. So that's why I don't think 160 or 180 would be enough. I mean, it needs to be 220, something in that area, because they're consistently going to need to get a little bit of that going. Now, to get that going, I think they're going to have to do more through the air, and I think they're going to have to essentially run the ball through the air. But I think that by spreading that defense out, by going 3-4 wide, maybe even 5 wide with some sort of creative runs that you could motion someone back in or even utilize some quarterback runs, now, I think they're going to have that kind of a day. Now, it's going to be a very different 200 yards, in my opinion, because I think if you just try to line up and do what you did against Liberty and try to line up what you did against Arkansas, that's not going to work.
Who is the Alabama player that will benefit the most from a, um, a weakness in Auburn's offense or defense? Who's going to shine the most because of the matchup in this game on Saturday?
I don't know how it couldn't be Quinnen Williams with the way that the two centers and the right guard have played specifically. And that's an area that if he gets either one of those in one-on-ones, I would assume that he would take immediate advantage of that and make that position look bad. He's that good of a player. He's that dominant. And those two positions have really struggled for Auburn this year. If he's able to be a guy that is allowed to sort of tee off on one individual, and you even saw LSU with double teams and with back running back help. And I don't think the running back was assigned to help. I just think he kind of had that much penetration that early and sort of had to try to help, but also in some slide protection, some gap protection, which you shouldn't get that kind of leakage from the middle of your defense when that's happening, when you're utilizing that type of protection, and he was still able to get back there and still able to disrupt things. I would think that if there has to be some sort of a plan that's put in place, and that's why I think quick ball distribution's got to be the only way, because if not, I just don't see how Jared Sims is going to have a lot of time to operate.
On the other side of the ball, Alabama can run. They can throw it. If you're Mike Locksley, how do you think they attack this defense?
I think they're going to come out and try to run the ball early, Lance, honestly. You kind of saw them do it against Mississippi State. And Auburn's got a guy or two who I feel pretty confident in coverage, but I just think everything changes when you show you can run the ball. And the one thing that I think they may be able to attack is the perimeter, so I would expect a heavy dose of outside zone. I would expect a heavy dose of sweeps and power plays to try to get to the outside, make that defense run a little bit, and sort of widen the defensive ends and have the outside linebackers play out a little bit more. And then they have the capabilities to attack the middle of the field through the air. Kind of going back to what Jim Chaney did a little bit in the SEC Championship game last year, utilized a little bit of that, and he did most of it through the air. But I could see Alabama doing it on the ground early and then trying to attack the middle of the field through the air. So, and some of that will be predicated on how Kevin Steele decides to play this offense. If Kevin Steele goes into this game saying, you know, we're going to apply pressure, we're going to bring 6, 7, 8 guys on every play, we're going to try to make Tua uncomfortable, well, obviously, you're not running into those looks. You're going to probably check, try to throw a slant, try to hit some sort of a hot route, get rid of the football quickly, and that'll change things. So it's the chess match of how this defense wants to play them early will be interesting to see, because I'm always interested in just how people think they can line up and attempt to attack this offense.
Cole Kublik, SEC Network, ESPN, also three-man front with Aaron Suttles and Landrum Roberts following us here. He's presented each week by JD's in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, stop by JD's Spirits. They've got Pendleton whiskey right now. This whiskey has an uncommonly smooth taste, rich, complex flavor. You can try the Pendleton Straight or the 1910 Rye Whiskey today.
Cole is on the Bud Light Hotline with us, and the question a lot of people had asked about Tua Tagovailoa is, do you beat him by playing coverage or do you beat him by pressure? The team that has affected him the most did it with pressure. That's Mississippi State, but that's two elite defensive linemen. Can Auburn, do you think, with their front four, get that type of pressure on him against Alabama's O-line?
Possibly. Yeah, I think Derrick Brown can be that disruptive. I think Nick Coe can be that disruptive, especially if those two are lined up on the right side. And I think a lot of this depends on the health of the Alabama offensive line. I mean, how healthy is whoever is in it left guard? How healthy is Alex Leatherwood? I think those are big question marks. And if those guys aren't near 100% and they're struggling to push off and they're struggling to play at the level that they've played at the majority of the year, that gives them a big advantage. The other thing that does sort of work against Auburn is they don't really have an elite speed rusher. They don't have that edge guy, but a lot of what Alabama does with quick throws over the middle of the field can be taken away with a middle rush, and you can affect him with guys rushing up the middle. So I think that there's a possibility there, but not having a guy like Sweat hurts you a little bit. Mississippi State didn't do a lot of damage bringing 3 or 4. You know, a lot of the pressure and a lot of the disruption that they got was when Bob Shoop decided to bring 5, 6, or 7. And I think attacking the right side of that offensive line is where he saw even more success. So I would expect more of that. And it's kind of really interesting to me, because talking to Dave Aranda a few weeks ago, and I shared this with you guys, he said, you know, you got to have guys who can pressure and you got to have guys who can cover. Well, Mississippi State and Bob Shoop decided they were going to bring extra pressure. And it depends on how confident Kevin Steele is on the back end of his defense of how many extra guys he decides to bring, because you're going to force the ball out one way or the other. You can't pick up everybody. And Tua's been a guy that's been accurate enough and made good enough decisions that he will usually make you pay for trying to bring those extra defenders. It's an intriguing chess match that you have to make decisions on early. And I think Auburn can disrupt with their defensive line. But once again, going back to what we talked about earlier, if that run game gets going, then that changes everything, because I don't think you can go all out. I don't think you can sell out enough on blitzes when people are running the football, because you're just asking for trouble.
If you're an Auburn fan, you'll hear some people say, and some non-fans of this series on the outside, that Alabama has all the pressure. They have everything to lose. Auburn's playing with house money. They're the underdogs. Nobody's expecting anything. In this rivalry that you've played in, does that factor in at all? No pressure at all on one team? Do you usually see the heavy underdogs like this do anything in this series? Is that an advantage at all for Auburn?
I think it can be, but Jim, that goes to coaching. I think the players are going to play. I talked about on our show last week, I think it was, that sometimes it's frustrating to watch other teams' lack of performance, quality performance against Alabama, because you would like to see Alabama get teams' best shots. And you see guys with bad snaps, blowing coverages, dropping balls, throwing interceptions. And you sometimes wonder, it's going to take a near-perfect game to even compete with Alabama, and how you allow those things to happen. So if you want to let your kids play loose, you want to let your kids have a chance, you want to play outside the box, then that comes down more to coaching, I think, than anything else. Because kids know when coaches coach tight, and kids know when the game plan that coaches put together are ones that don't give you as much opportunity to create big plays. And that's very real. That can happen. But I think the players are going to be focused on their task at hand. I've always said it's one of the cleanest games that I've been a part of and that I watch every year, because I don't think these kids want to be the one that makes a big mistake. And that's why I think they're more laser-focused, and that's why I think they're more dialed into what individually they need to do on every play in this game. So I think if that's going to happen, that comes from coaches, and that comes from coaches giving their players the opportunities to be able to go do those things. Now, you can't just go make a living on gadget plays, but there are ways that you can think outside the box, be creative, and maybe attach things to what you've done previously the entire season that would maybe throw the defense off and give you a little bit more of a chance.
All right, he's Cole Kubelik.
Follow Jim Dunaway on Twitter and Instagram @JimDunaway.